Hello, everyone.
I'm
And
Carl.
I'm Em.
And welcome to our podcast discussing all the latest books. This is season 3, episode 3. We are discussing The Deal by L. Kennedy. As always, we will save our ratings to the very end.
We promise to give you all of our honest opinions and all the characters, chapters, and scenarios. We don't mean any harm to any of the authors. This is solely our opinion. And as always, we promise to Carl and like reread them.
Period. So, some trigger warnings for this episode and book include sexual assault, domestic violence, abuse, child abuse, misogyny, sexism, explicit sexual content on the page, for certain. There is some violence with the hockey and some injuries related to that, injuries related to the domestic violence as well. There are several times that the word rape itself is used, so if that word itself triggers anybody, you should be aware of that. Related to her assault, it references like an unsatisfactory response with the like law enforcement and stuff that can be triggering, and then what happens to her family because of it, so like the isolation and bullying, that sort of thing. And then I guess blackmail is another one, or extortion. I don't know which one it would qualify under, from the dad. As always, take care of yourselves and check them yourself before you dive in, and spoilers may lie ahead.
So if you don't want to hear how this book ends, please pause here, go read the book, and then come back to this episode. And I also want to include that this is a series, but each book is kind of like a standalone. It's about a different character, each book in the entire series. Sure, there's probably haven't read further into the series, or at least not. So I know it's important you read each book in order that it was written. It'll be read out of order, but start with this. It's a good start, at least, and there.
I have read book 2 so far, starting book 3 soon. For book 2, I didn't have to have read book 1 to read book 2, but there were some things that wouldn't have probably made sense if you hadn't read book 1. I will say, though, so there's 4 books that are standalone interconnected series, and then there's a 5th book, but the 5th book is actually like the future of all 4 couples. So obviously, if you're going to read that 5th book, you probably need to read all 4 couples.
You ready to get started?
Let's get into it.
Okay.
All right, the blurb for this book. She's about to make a deal with a college bad boy. Hannah Wells has finally found someone who turns her on. But while she might be confident in every other area of her life, she's carting around a full set of baggage when it comes to sex and seduction. If she wants to get her crush's attention, she'll have to step out of her comfort zone and make him take notice, even if it means tutoring the annoying, childish, cocky captain of the hockey team in exchange for a pretend date. And it's going to be oh so good. All Garrett Graham has ever wanted is to play professional hockey after graduation, but his plummeting GPA is threatening everything he's worked so hard for. If helping a sarcastic brunette make another guy jealous will lift his grades and secure his position on the team, he's all for it. But when one unexpected kiss leads to the wildest sex of both their lives, it doesn't take long for Garrett to realize that pretend isn't going to cut it. Now he just has to convince Hannah that the man she wants looks a lot like him.
Hannah is a 20-year-old music major at Brier University. She sings for, I guess, her talent, I guess you can say, ending a career out of her passion someday. And even though she has a really good academic, she doesn't really engage much outside of that and practicing for the showcases. She's also a survivor of rape, and though she determines with what's happened to her, she's therapy and kind of focused on herself. She has some traumatic experiences come from that with some of her experiences.
You mean like triggers?
Yes. Is a 20-year-old hockey player, and he's also a history major at the same university. He's super popular, captain of the hockey team, star athlete, you know, kind of a legacy hockey player as well. And he has done pretty well for himself in academics, except in the philosophy class that he's taking. He has failed the midterm.
Honestly, I don't normally read college romances because, like, I'm past that age group. And so, like, normally they're kind of a little immature, and I'm always afraid it's going to be, like, really immature. Sort of like, so you swear. Anyways, this one wasn't terrible. There were some aspects that I thought, like, that's a little immature as well. But I tried to picture myself in that era of my life doing these things. And I still was like, No. But also, I like to preface, because I'm probably going to say things throughout this episode that people are going to be like, what does she mean? Well, here's what I mean. I did not go to high school or college parties. I didn't live that life. I had a lot more things to worry about. So, like, happy for you that you might got to have, like, a fun, crazy childhood or college experience, but I did not. I went to class, went to work, and went home. So, throughout this, I might, if I sound, like, a little judgmental about it, I apologize. Because some of the stuff I'm just, like, I can't relate to, personally. But that doesn't mean that it was a bad thing to do, you know? Yeah. So let me just preface that. The next book specifically, the second book, I have a lot more opinions about that. But anyways, so let me just say that to start us off.
I honestly, like, I mean, I went to high school parties, but I didn't really go to anything in college, honestly, I don't think at all.
Did you go to band kids high school parties?
I did.
I'm never going to let you live that down.
It was a lot of fun. You were missing out.
Did they smoke weed?
No, we tried to see how many Oreos we could shove in our mouth at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, those aren't the kind of parties I'm talking about. But anyways, no, I'm talking about the parties where they were underage drinking and underage drug use. You didn't
do that. The first time I had alcohol, I was like 21, and it was wine and a sip, and I never drank again for like years.
Okay, well, I grew up with bad dad. So I had alcohol at a young age, but the first time I like me sought out alcohol and got intoxicated, I was 20 years old and a couple months away from my 21st birthday.
I think because of my dad, I didn't drink alcohol. So
same. I definitely didn't do drugs because of my dad. Yeah,
but speaking of vices, Garrick was known for his casual flings with women.
Who?
Garrett was known for his casual flings with women.
Don't throw my man under the bus.
And he also avoided serious relationships because he wanted to solely focus on pursuing a professional career.
He said they were, what, a distraction.
Mm-hmm. And he also felt like he needed to set an example for his teammates and keep his grade and things like that. He ends up having to press Hannah into tutoring him. So.
He does. He's very persistent.
Honestly, in the face, if it was me personally, because he would have gotten on my nerves. But
the moment he waited for me outside of the diner.
The book where Hannah and Garrett are in the psych philosophy class. I think it's philosophy ethics or something like that.
Yeah.
And she has discovered that she earned an A on her midterm, and she's discovering that most of the class failed it. I guess that she has had some complaints, so she is offering to redo the exam. She kind of is expressing how it was supposed to be like an easy A. Apparently the prior professor had passed away before this course. And so Garrett is failing. He received a pretty bad grade, and he's afraid that his GPA will drop to where he can't play hockey. So as they're leaving, he ends up discovering that Hannah ended up having an A. So he like starts begging her to tutor him. And she basically says, hey, I'm too busy. I've got a showcase coming up. Don't have time, have school. She just honestly didn't want to do it, but she just, you know, made excuses as us women typically do whenever a man pressures us with something.
I think she probably really didn't have time either though. Like, although she finds time later on, like she was really busy.
Possibly.
Work, school, rehearsal, sleep, eat. She didn't have much time left. I mean, like, a lot of times she was tutoring him for an hour between, like, 9 and 10 o'clock.
True.
That's my bedtime.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be giving that up.
That is true. That is true. He also discovered that Hannah has a sort of one-sided crush with this guy, Justin, who's a football player in the class. They've actually spoken to each other. She just kind of has smiled at him a couple times, and she's in love with him. So it's a real,
it's weird.
It's a real weird stalker type vibe.
It's actually like either talk to him or you got to let it go. It's getting to that point.
Well, and so she describes him as like this sweet guy, like later on in the book that like super like different than any other popular kids that she knew and kind of like that, which Garrett kind of corrects her later in the book. And he's like, I don't think that you know the person that you think you know, which if that's the case, I really feel like that should have evolved a little bit further because
I was just about to say, we didn't really get it, though.
Yeah, I feel like we should have if that was going to be a point to kind of the story. And almost like extreming the differences between Garrett and
Justin.
Yeah, Justin. So I just feel like there should have been some kind of extreme between them if that was going to be the case.
See, and I'm wondering if it sets up something later, maybe.
You know who the book is about?
The third book is Allie, her roommate, and Dean.
Okay.
John Logan is the second one. Dean is the third. And then John Tucker is the fourth one. John Tucker is the one that has accidental pregnancy. And his girl's name is...
Don't tell me it's Kendall.
No. We haven't met her yet. So book two and book four are girls that, like, come out of nowhere, okay, to be quite honest. But Allie is the third book, and that's Hannah's roommate in this book.
Gotcha.
Sorry, those are kind of spoilers for the other books, too. But I haven't read 3 and 4. I just know the trope and who the characters are.
Any of it, so you're a lot farther than me.
I saw it, like, it's been all over my TikTok for years. Like, and I've owned the books for quite some time now. I just haven't gotten around to reading them.
Well, actually, Shout out to Chelsea. She actually recommended me to read this as well. And I often finally decided on it, but... A hockey romance phase here lately. I went from a cowboy romance to my hockey romance phase. I'm kind of making my way through all the hockey romance books, so it was bound into this one at some point or another. So,
not quite all the hockey romance books, because you won't read my recommendations.
I mean, not really my taste in tea, so appreciate it.
Well, I might get through all five of these and decide I want to read another little sports romance that you won't let me forget about.
Oh, so after Garrett returns home, he gets told by his roommates that he has a surprise waiting for him upstairs and discovers that this previous fling that he had is waiting upstairs to rendezvous. And
I didn't like that scene.
It was real weird.
There are several times, like, we get Garrett's point of view, and it says, like, you know, like, it acts like it's, like, women empowerment, but then, like, almost every time we describe those women in either point of view, and either of the two books now, it's not a flattering
perspective
description. Yeah, like, it's almost a little misogynistic, even when they're not trying to be.
To me, part that I don't like about it was the fact that, like, it was almost like we said that he doesn't want a serious relationship, so then we're going to, like, shove it down your throat that he doesn't want a serious relationship, instead of just, like, getting his perspective and his view of saying, of maybe wanting to stay single, like, you know, or, like, he had a conversation with, you know, one of the girls beforehand, or he had a conversation with her whenever they started, you know, messing around. He could have been like, hey, I don't do serious relationships. I don't want a serious, like, we could have done it in some kind of aspect with that. We didn't have to have some random chick at some point in his bedroom and then later at a party. Like, we didn't need those kind of scenes to emphasize that he doesn't do string attached relationships.
Well, I agree. And I almost thought, like, and again, I did not have this experience, so maybe this is my ignorance. But in my mind, like, if a guy doesn't do relationships, there's two ways that I've seen that exhibit, right? Either, like, it's a one and done, and there's no two times, three times, whatever. Or it's a friends with benefits situation where it's like that one person is who you sleep with over a longer period of time. Yeah. It's not like I sleep with them for a week and then I sleep with this person for a week. I don't know. I feel like those are the two ways that it manifests. Maybe not. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. That's very possible. But it was just weird for me how we kept, like, it felt like it was an easy way to sort of set up this, like, mean girl vibe that I was afraid was going to come back. But then it didn't really even come back. She has one little interaction with him where she gets kind of butt hurt. But that's it.
And even then, it wasn't necessary.
Well, and it wasn't like that was the third act breakup either, which is what I thought we were setting up.
And then you get the random one where she walks in on him with some other chick, too.
That one made more sense to me. But I didn't think it was necessary. I also, though, like, I don't know. Even, like, the descriptions of the girls throughout both of the books so far have been very, like, sexualized. And I get it because one of the point of views is a male point of view. But there's some ways things are phrased, I'm like, I think we could have said that maybe a little differently and got a better point across.
I agree.
But it's not been like so distasteful that's made me upset, because I have read books like that where it is very clearly disrespectful and misogynistic. But it's just a little odd phrases sometimes.
Well, speaking of kind of misogynistic people, we end up finding out that her duet partner is this guy named Cass. And
I like him.
He's motivated, self-serving, and yes, very much not wanting her to be a part of it in any way possible. Or be a backup singer, sort of.
I don't know why he ever even agreed to do the duet.
I mean, if he thought he wanted to do that, why not just do a solo in the first place? But like, thought she would just cave and like make his voice sound better. I don't know.
It was satisfying when he lost, though.
True. So we go back to her apartment or dorm room, and we find or meet her Allie, who suggests that they go to a frat party on Wednesday, which Hannah has some trauma regarding this. We kind of learned a little bit over the course of a couple chapters more and more about it, but we end up finding out that she was raped about 5 years prior. And I guess she had been drugged whenever she was drinking. So she doesn't drink any longer. She doesn't take beverages from others. So Allie kind of supports her in that and just doesn't drink with her, kind of guards her. So agreed to get out more, because I guess she's made some kind of pact with her that she would do so. And so while this is all kind of going on, Garrett is coming up with a giant plan to convince Hannah to tutor him. And somehow ends up getting her phone number, and he texts her and basically sends a picture of himself shirtless to try to convince her to tutor him, which, such a guy move. But you think that we want a shirtless picture of you to be able to tutor you.
Also, like, we can't find a million other shirtless pictures online, as if like we have to have yours.
Yep.
And let's be honest, I'm surprised it was just the shirtless. I'm surprised it wasn't a you know what pic. Mm-hmm. Because the amount of times guys have sent those unsolicited, nobody wants to see that. It's not attractive.
Mm-mm.
Don't do it. Men don't understand.
Uh-uh.
But anyways, I thought, what a frat sport college guy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Send your torso. Like, every other dude on that team probably doesn't have the exact same ripped torso. You're not special. Which is honestly why he fell for her. Let's all be honest. That's what this whole trope was. It was like, she wasn't star-dazed.
Yeah, by his that was kind of
celebrity status.
Because he does mention that at some point. Like, it fascinated him or something like that, I think he referred to it as. So,
because she didn't crawl to her knees and worship him from the start. She made him work for it. That is the whole trope. And to be honest, that's kind of misogynistic.
To be honest, though, I didn't... Like, I knew that trope was there, but, like, then play on that a lot more than then play on to prove that he's a womanizer. I would have rather that trope over relationships, but now I do a relationship, at least the way this was written.
I think that was probably the goal, was using that womanizer trope to satisfy the, like, she's the first girl he's met that hasn't just given him what he wanted kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it almost took it too far.
Yeah.
In a misogynistic way.
Because, I mean, I've read...
I don't think that was the intention, but that's just the way it came off to me.
Well, I mean, several other hockey romances at this point, and several others and stuff, and that trope's pretty much in every...
It's a sports thing. Yeah. Sports romances normally have that. But I've read several, too, but they're just done better than this.
That's what I was fixing to say.
And even not even necessarily that, even in my mafia romances, if it's a guy that is known for sleeping around, like, there's still, I just think it could have been done better.
Yeah.
I've just seen it done better.
Agreed.
But, and here's my problem. So, I've read book two now. Book two is actually better, because that's not the way it goes at all. Like, we learned about him in book one, him doing that, so book two is a little bit better. I'm concerned about book three, because Dean is the biggest one of all of them. And I'm afraid, like, I won't be able to enjoy it. So, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm a little nervous about how the next couple of books are going to go because of that. I'll say, though, I was like, Tucker, I'm excited for his book. Because he's been just a lovely little gentleman kept to himself this entire time. So I can't wait to learn more about him.
Yeah.
He's kind of been like a little secretive. Like, we don't know a whole lot about him.
Secret pregnancy. That may be what he's keeping secrets.
I know, but I just mean like we don't even know anything about him. Other than what his name is and that he occasionally goes to the party with him. But like, that's it. Hmm. We don't even, like Dean, we get, he goes out.
Maybe you'll learn more in book three.
Maybe. Yeah, because we learned a little bit more about Dean in book two, so maybe so. But I'm excited to read Dean's because Dean sounds very hot, and I can't wait until the female character puts him in his place.
All right, so Garrett ends up showing up to Hannah's work and like a last effort to convince her to tutor him. And he kind of recommends like raising her social standing. She turns that down. Fake dating may make her popular. She just kind of laughs him off and she continues to reject him.
It's the way he's so flabbergasted that she doesn't care about her social standing. Yes. And I was like, okay, what are we, 12?
Yeah. It definitely threw him for a loop, but like it kind of, I don't know. It just didn't fit his personality to me. I don't know. Like to me, it didn't seem like that jockey guy that like judged people by their social standings.
Yeah, like he didn't seem like he actually cared about social standards.
Yeah, and at this point he didn't know about the Justin dude. To me it just didn't fit his, like whenever he mentioned, when he found out about her crush on Justin, it made sense at that point for him to recommend that. But at this particular point in time, I don't know, it's getting to know him and his perspective, some of his didn't quite make sense.
It almost, like, the beginning and the end of the book were almost like two different stories, like different characters. Yes. And it wasn't like a growth, and that's how we got to a different character.
Shabam.
Yeah. When I first got into it, I was like, okay. But by the end of it, I did really like both the characters. And I wanted to read the other book and what happened to the rest of the characters. At the beginning, I was a little nervous that I wasn't going to like it because it was kind of like very shallow, very kind of immature mindset, thinking like, oh, what she wants is for her social status to be. Also, if you waited 3 seconds and thought about it, about who she is and what she does, I'm pretty sure you would know she doesn't care about her social status. It was pretty obvious.
Well, even, what was his name? Jimmy or something like that? Party that they go to? I think his name was Jimmy. Jeremy or...
There was a Jimmy, but I don't know if that's who you're talking
Jimmy
about.
Jimmy or Jeremy or something. But Heron are over in the corner talking about Garrett. And he was like, oh, yeah, he has, like, an inflated ego and, like, you know, father's famous talking.
Paulson.
Yeah. And I'm just like, even then, reflecting back on that, it doesn't, there's no scene that, like, he seemed like this egotistical male hockey player. No. Even his own perspective, it wasn't, oh, I've got to flaunt myself. No, he was kind of cocky. But, like, it wasn't, like, an overinflated ego because his dad's famous, you know, or something like that. And honestly, don't mention if you're not him that. You can't have him be, like, 17 different things and then just, like, touch on a few of them here and there.
I think the whole point was that they both had this, like, idea of each other that wasn't accurate and they had to actually learn each other. But, again, I just think it could have been done in a better way.
Yeah. I did like, though, whenever she's at that party and Garrett tries to come back over to ask her again to tutor him. So she's like, hey, let's go dance, and like grabs the guy she's talking to. And I probably would have done the same, honestly, if somebody was annoying me like that. But she ends up running into Justin a little bit later as well. And he ends up inviting her out to one of his football games. And I don't really know if he was doing that to like flirt with her or if at this particular point in time, it was just more so like casual conversation because I ran into you in the hallway.
I don't know. It was weird. I never once was convinced that she even was going to be with Justin.
Yeah.
Now, that could be because I knew who the love interest was of the book.
Yeah.
And the back tells you as well, so I guess it wouldn't be just because I had spoilers, but like, maybe if I didn't know Garrett was actually the love interest, maybe I would have believed it. But like, Justin was never like likable for me. So I never was like, oh, I wanted to be with Justin to like sort of have that love triangle, you know? And just by the way he acted, I thought, oh, Garrett's assessment is right. Like, Hannah does not know him.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, I wanted to like really, really well. It wasn't terrible, but like mine is it started something, it didn't end something. It started something, it didn't end something. It started something, then it wasn't in the character conversations. It almost like, I guess the author was trying to convince us to have that perspective of him, but then even the exchange with Hannah, they weren't the same. So it just, no, other than literally writing on the page, this is what I believe should have a representation of that person to be, but then 5 seconds later have a totally different representation. It just was very confusing.
She should have made him act like that in public and then been different in private. Yes. And then she calls him out on it and is like, you're playing this fake persona that's not even you. How do I even know if it's real or something like that? And that being like what the third act breakup was about.
Yes.
Instead of the dad blackmailing. That was the dumbest thing.
Yes.
And I've got to be honest, though, it took us until like 92% of the book to find out why talking about his trust fund was even important. Mm-hmm. It just kept being talked about. And I was like,
well,
also, I don't, a trust fund baby?
I also had a problem with that, though, too, because he almost, whenever she finds out he has the trust fund, she's surprised by it, because at one point he does say, like, I'm broke, I don't have any money, I can't afford this kind of like attitude, whenever she's talking about like her family traveling and she doesn't have a lot of money and stuff like that. And I just like, I don't know. It just,
he says he can't afford something.
Yeah. He says it like he's broke at some point. I remember, I know I wrote it at a point whenever they're talking about her family not being able to make it for either Christmas. And so yeah, I'm broke. And he doesn't like elaborate, oh yeah, I'm going to get it at this point. By you saying I'm broke and then never, I can understand where she thought that you were going to lose everything.
Also, but how are you broke? Because your dad pays for everything.
Well, because I don't think he was trying to use any more money than he had to. Because he talked about how he created a spreadsheet to keep up with the costs and expenses that he's going to pay back his dad and all that.
We did. And we also talked about how he worked in the summer to save up money. But we never fully elaborated on that. So I was a little confused. But whatever. There were good bones to Garrett that I thought had really good potential. Some things hit. Towards the end, I did really like him. And even like in the second book, I still really like him. But it took me a while to get there. And I kind of had to look past the things that we didn't quite do.
I just felt like there was so much whiplash with the character descriptions that it was really hard to connect. Because you're like, oh, because he's an egotistical male. And then, but he's not. And then you're like, okay, I can't connect with him now because he's with a girl. It's too all over the place with the character. Now, like, Hannah, consistent as far as, like, her description of her, but Garrett, I think, was just a little, I don't think she could lock in what she really wanted him to be, so she just kind of hit the wall and hoped something stuck, kind of.
I agree.
So, at the party, Garrett does tell her that, or finds out, you know, she kind of has a feelings for Justin, and Garrett comments that he has a type, you know, cheerleader, sorority girls, stuff like that. So Hannah kind of interprets the conversation as an insult and tries to leave, and gets up following her outside and apologizing, explaining that his comment wasn't an insult, and he just kind of trying to get her to understand where Justin probably was gonna for. Somebody, so they date her to boost her popularity again. She declines, and so he insists on driving her home. And during that time period, which I did like before I do get to that their car ride, but he does have to say at one point, like, give me your phone, I'll take a selfie, text it to all your texts or whatever, so they know. And I really like that aspect of him, like almost like the kind of like an
over... His humor was attractive.
Yeah, but he was also kind of like, it was like in an overprotective way, but like an appropriate overprotective way. Like, it instantly felt like this need to protect her, but in like a way that she received it really well, but he didn't know that's what she needed, kind of thing. Almost like predicting what she needed, I guess is the best way of saying it. So I really, really liked that.
I didn't like the whole, like, I've never just like watched a movie with a girl and just hung out with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought it was like the whole situation with trying to convince her to still tutor him in that car ride conversation. The whole thing that he convinces her is like, he's like, oh, if you're not available, Justin will like you. I hate that so much. Like, I get that sometimes happens, but I don't think it happens that much that it's like something we need to make a whole hullabaloo about.
Or, here's the thought. If it happens, that's a red flag.
Exactly.
Don't be interested in him no more. Move on. You shouldn't have to change who you are for a guy to like you. And, like, that's what I really thought Garrett was going to... And he does at some point be like, no, you're too good for him. But I really thought he was going to say, you know, like, encourage her not to adapt. And he sort of does, but it's more like, no, don't worry about him anymore. Just worry about me. Instead of it, you should be your own person and do your own thing. But also, maybe that's too mature for
if he enjoyed the chase because you're unavailable, and then now all of a sudden you're with him, he's going to go to somebody who's now unavailable. Because he's going to get bored with you. So.
And if he was interested enough in you, it wouldn't be this hard. Yeah. The only reason he's interested in you is because you might belong to another man. That's not a good thing. Mm. That's not a good thing.
Red flag.
Yeah. So, I didn't like that. If that's that part of it felt kind of immature, too. But I do also understand, as a young girl... Especially in college, like, you're trying to fit in, you're trying to, you know, find your group, and you want boys to like you. So I kind of also got that vibe from it, but it almost kind of felt like high schoolish.
Yeah.
But also, Hannah had, because of her trauma, maybe that's what it was, is pointing out that she experienced that later on instead of, you know, in high school.
I agree. Definitely be the interpretation. Decide we'll fake date to boost your popularity so and make you unavailable so that way Justin wants you. But you need to, like, you know, tutor me in the process. So they agree to go out to a birthday party and they discuss kind of the makeup and she does end up agreeing at some point. She does end up asking him at one point, and I do good quote. She asks him not he actually enjoys hockey for himself or he enjoys it because his father pushed him to do it. And he says, here's a confession. I hate my father. No, I despise him. The irony, the bastard thinks everything I've done for him has been for him. The intense training, the full body bruises, killing myself 20 hours a week in order to better my game. He's arrogant enough to believe that I put myself through all that for him. But he's wrong. I do it for me. And to a lesser extent, I do it to beat him, to be better than him. Don't get me wrong. I love the game. I live for the roar of the crowd, the crisp air to my face as I hurtle down the ice, the hiss of the puck as I release a slap shot the lamp. Hockey is adrenaline. It's excitement. It's soothing, even. Like that. He's discovered that hockey is something he's made it rather than something that his father's made it. I do appreciate that he's been able to find some happiness. Sometimes whenever people are pressured, that's like you never want to touch it ever again. Have nothing to do with it. So
are you going to read the other books?
Probably at some, yes. My goal is in the next couple weeks to get really far ahead on our books we're going to read.
So can I tell you something that I didn't like? Even if it's not really a spoiler for book two.
To be honest, we'll probably forget it by the time I read it, so probably that should be fine.
So, you know how Garrett and Logan have this, like, idea that they're going to play NHL together and go all that stuff or whatever? Yeah, Logan's been lying the entire time. He's never planned to go pro. And there are reasons that I won't tell you because you can find out later, because that's a big part of book two. But it actually really bothered me that he's just been, like, pretending this entire time with Garrett.
Especially as, like, his best friend.
And it's kind of messed up, like, his character for me in book two. And so I've kind of had to, like, pretend like that didn't happen. Because he has such good potential in book two. Like, there's so many things he says and does that you're like, that's not even the same dude from book one, to be honest. Yeah. Lying to his friend and pretending like they're gonna go play pro together is, like, actually crazy.
Does he end up telling Garrett?
He does in book two, and Garrett is upset but also understands, because it's a reason for doing it is, like, a legit reason, although I disagree with it. But it's not just for fun he's been lying. Gotcha. But still, it feels very icky to go through all 4 years of college with your best friend and be planning the pros. And he's not even applied. Like, and here you are about to graduate now, and we're still...
Maybe he was hoping he'd change his mind.
No, he knows he's not. He can't.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. That. So, I had to, like, kind of pretend that didn't happen. To be honest.
Valid.
Because he should have just been honest with Garrett from the beginning and been like, no, I won't be going to the pros. And that'd be it. But anyways, I don't agree with why he's not going to the pros. But I also understand it. And, like, that part, his reasoning and that part of his character is, like, a big part of book two. And, like, actually makes you, like, want to love him. But then in the back of my mind, I've got, like, but he was just lying to Garrett all 4 years of college.
Yeah.
For no reason, honestly. Like, just to, like, live in the fantasy world with Garrett, I guess. Because he's not even put his name in the draft. Like, I don't know. But, so, I think that, like, this, like, flipping the characters and, like, this chaos, I think is probably going to go through all 5 books, honestly. So, I just wanted to give you a heads up.
Okay. So, Hannah arrives to Garrett's townhouse, which apparently his dad pays for, to their first tutoring lesson, and she actually gets mistaken for a stripper by Dean at the front door, which was also a weird side storyline plot that really didn't need to be there.
No, these guys, like, they just get so much coochie thrown at them. I'm like, but that's not hot.
No.
Okay, whatever.
They've all now come up with the nickname Wellesley for her, which is a play on her last name.
But I think it's adorable.
Could have thought a little bit more about that one.
I think it's cute.
I mean, it's unique, but it definitely could have put more thought into just adding a Y to the end of it.
I don't know. I feel like in my head I can hear the way he would say it, and it's cute.
So they do go to Garrett's bedroom, and while they're there studying, Garrett continues to be distracted by some text messages. And when Hannah ends up getting the phone, she ends up finding out some girl has been, like, sexting him, and he's been trying to, like, tell her he's busy, which I don't know why he just didn't silence his phone. So that was my thought.
That's fair.
This girl back herself and basically saying, hey, I'm his tutor, leave him alone, which is also weird.
And she listened.
It was real weird.
I agree.
But as she goes to the restroom, steals her phone, deletes all of her One Direction off there, tells her he's going
to
give her.
Which I took a personal offense to. Because what do you mean? I would literally never speak to him again if he deleted One Direction off my phone.
I only think I have one One Direction song on my phone.
That's blasphemy.
Literally. That was my time, so it wasn't like...
Yeah, because you're old.
Oh. But like...
Except...
3.5, 4 years.
Except they're older than you, so...
Yeah, no, but they were just like... It was after kind of that phase in my life, I guess. I don't know.
Sure. Anyways, the point is, that is a sin to me. We would be boxing if you try to delete my One Direction off my phone.
I definitely think that you could probably hold your own against Garrett if you really got that angry, but...
I love that I could take on a full hockey player that's about to go play in the NHL. I love that for me.
Like, I
love that for me.
I really think if they really got under your skin, I think you could figure out some way to take it down.
We'd be putting the pads on and getting on that ice. No, I can't skate, so we would not be doing that.
So
I'd kill us both by falling and slicing us up with my blades. I cannot skate for the life of me.
That's like my worst fear with ice skating.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I can't even, like, roller skate. It doesn't matter what kind of skates. I can't do it.
Oh, I used to be really good at roller skating. Not anymore.
I don't know why, but I just can't do it. I'm not good.
Another thing I'm not good at, it's also singing. And so...
Every time I read a book about a girl that can sing, I'm always, like, a little jealous. I'm like, man... I can't sing. I can't even pretend to be her because I can't sing.
Well, not only that, but, like, apparently the way she describes it, neither can Cass, really. I mean, he sings well, but just, I think he wants to be, like, an opera singer or something. I'm not quite sure what his goal is.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell.
They basically fight about adding a choir to their duet. And...
Which I will say, I love a good choir moment.
It depends on the song.
It's a love song.
I don't know if every love song needs a choir. She wasn't the only one that vetoed that decision. MJ, or whatever her name is, also vetoed that decision of having the choir added as well.
No. She agreed about the choir.
No, she agreed about the choir after. But the first time he wanted it, she said that it didn't need it.
Well, she ended up agreeing, and they had a choir. And Hannah admits that the choir actually wasn't a bad touch. But he still loses.
I did like Hannah and Garrett's little flirtatious text message exchange that they had. And Allie actually thinks she's texting Justin, and she corrects her. And Allie's kind of like, oh, is something going on? And she's like, no, not really. We're just friends. Garrett, at his hockey game, notices his father in the crowd and talks about how that other people on the outside looking in would see that his dad is like a proud parent who actively supports his son. And Garrett said, and this quote from the book, he says, he doesn't come to the games to watch his son play. He comes to watch an extension of himself play. I felt really bad for Garrett with that statement, because I've not been in that position, but like, I definitely can see where other people in my past with sports and like different things like that, people definitely were kind of forced upon them. You as parent, like a parent at a game too, like screaming at the refs about something. And it's like, they're 8 years, like not that big of a deal. And you're making it more of a big deal. So then later on, they're going to make it more of a, so.
Yeah.
But Logan in the locker room does ask Garrett about Hannah, because he admits that he has interest in her. And Garrett expresses internally that he acknowledges that he may have feelings for her, but brushes that down and keeps it to herself.
That's such a weird aspect, and it's setting up book two, but it's not the way I think his story should have been written.
Gotcha.
Like, he's lying to his friend, and he's into his friend's girl.
Yeah.
He's a bad friend. You find out later that it's a little different than it seems at first.
My thing is, I think it was kind of obvious that they were not a great friend group. Just because whenever Garrett sees his dad in the parking lot, like, all of his friends are like, go say hello. And he hasn't felt comfortable enough to tell them what happened in his life. So I do feel he had some, like, really close friends that he really could trust. And he, something along that lines that maybe he definitely, apparently we're.
Do you think it's that, though, or do you think it's because they're dudes? And dudes don't share that kind of stuff with each other.
I mean, he does eventually.
Well, yeah, because it's necessary to do so.
Oh.
Also, you have to remember, these aren't childhood friends. They became friends at college. So it's also that, like, you know, we like haven't known each other forever. I would have assumed he told Logan, the way they act like they're best friends.
Well, Birdie and him, I would he have talked assumed about he told how they were talking about things that he typically wouldn't talk about to other people. So
he said that Birdie is that for everybody on the team, though. Like, he's almost like an older brother that everybody confides in.
Yeah, so I feel like he would have, to me, I would think that it would be Birdie and then maybe Logan would be my top two, but it would be in that order.
I don't know a lot of guys that share that kind of stuff, though, so. That's how I explained it away, is like, it's just a dude. Dudes don't share their trauma.
Gotcha.
Us girls will get drunk and share it in the bar bathroom.
Or of trauma. We do find out some more about Hannah's. She talks about how she's on a phone call with her mom, and she talks about how her parents can't come to Christmas with them. So she talks about how they only returned home since the incident one time. And apparently her father ended up in jail because he assaulted somebody who basically was making comments about Hannah.
And it was one of the dude's friend's dads.
Yeah, and basically the community's like shunned her family. And she talks about how she wishes she could get out of there, but apparently they've taken out a second mortgage on their house to pay for some of her expenses.
I don't think that was thought through, because it talks about how they settled outside of court, which means they took a settlement amount from his family.
Yeah.
And typically what happens is when attorneys do those sort of cases, they'll take like a percentage of your settlement. Not a, like, you take out a loan ahead of time.
Yeah.
And normally, like, you would consider how much your second mortgage is when you're accepting a settlement and make sure you get enough to at least pay that. There were some logistics there that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Also, every time we kept talking about the fact that they can't afford their house, I thought, okay, is Garrett going to use his trust fund to pay off their
house? I did. I was waiting for that. Or, like, him surprising her with like tickets to like fly her family or something like that. It was like Christmas, really, that there was going to be some kind of present with that.
It might be in book 4 and book 5. I mean, when we get there, maybe that happens then. I don't know. But it was definitely set up as if there was going to be like some big thing. Which I think is weird. I don't think it would be appropriate for Garrett to use his trust fund to pay her mom and dad's second mortgage off. Mm-hmm. That's weird to me. But that's how it kept being set up.
I agree. If it's not in book 4, it'd probably be just as surprising, to be honest. So talk about how Hannah's sex life has kind of been marked with some fear and anger, kind of lack of passion, I guess is the best way of saying it. She finds a hard time of getting into that passionate moment. Because she just keeps having triggers regarding the incident. And no one's really, I don't think, ever made her feel safe enough either to actually just fully enjoy that moment as well. So Hannah does go to Garrett's place for the tutoring session, and they notice a large bruise from a hockey game. And he spends time studying, and then afterwards he's like, hey, let's hang out, let's chill. They watch Bad Marathon, and I did enjoy the fact that it slowly kind of, like, it was almost like lost and just spending time together. So I did really enjoy that, because I thought it is something that realistically would like happen in a college relationship. I started dating mine before college, but I feel like you could dramatically get caught, you know, lost in like a binge marathon or something like that. But they start talking about childhoods together and kind of reveal different things about their childhood. Oddly enough, Hannah does decide to stay the night at Garrett's place, which was a little bit weird. I did think it was a bit soon considering they're not together. Now, if they're, I could kind of understand sleeping over, but them not being together, tutor-tutory relationship was a little weird. But Gary does, like,
especially with, like, her stance on everything. Yes. It didn't surprise me for him to be fine with it. It surprised me for her.
And then on top of it, whenever they wake up, Garrett finds Hannah nestled up to him, which is a little weird. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be a play on, like, her subconscious felt safe with him, or if it was, like...
That happens every time, though. When two people go to sleep and they're going to platonically sleep next to each other, they always end up cuddled together.
But I just found it weird with giving her situation.
I don't know about you. I'm a cuddler, like, when I'm in the mood to cuddle, like when we're watching a movie. But when I'm going to sleep, don't touch me. I'm here. You're there.
I don't mind to like, fall asleep to cuddle. But then after, like, I'm asleep, subconsciously I roll over because I don't want to touch you anymore.
I'm not a peaceful sleeper. So we can't be all cuddled up because I'm going to toss and turn all night long.
Trevor keeps our house so cold that I have to. Because otherwise my entire toes would have fallen off by now.
I like it cold. I just bundled myself up in a blanket.
No.
No. Yes.
Honestly, I don't know why he doesn't switch me sides of the bed. Because the fan that we had, because we have the fan on up above. Switch me sides. He does. He should. Because we have the fan up top and then we have the fan on the dresser. But he doesn't want to get murdered first. So that's why I have to sleep by the door. We literally had that argument.
But he does know, though, that when they come in, they assume the man is a threat. So no matter which side he sleeps on, they will kill him
first. I did try to explain that to him. I was wrong, so.
You mean he thought you were wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I'm just going to get murdered first.
Sure.
So, Hannah does wake up, and she asks Garrett to drive her back to her dorm, and she runs into Justin somewhere. I didn't put where, so I'm not sure, but it runs into Justin. They strike up a conversation.
Coffee shop?
No, I think it may be outside of a classroom, because I start talking about class where Garrett brought her coffee.
Yes, it's outside their philosophy ethics class.
Okay, so they do strike up a conversation, and he does kind of talk about how she did leave the party with Garrett. She kind of just clarifies that Garrett's just a friend that gave her a ride home. Justin's about to basically ask her out. Garrett interrupts, and he just kind of overly friendly, kind of killing the mood. And Garrett insists on dragging her away and, like, play hard to get after class. And he basically says, let's wait till this party to make a move. So, during her...
I will say, though, I thought it was adorable, like, how he became her friend. And in public, acted like her friend. Like, that was cute.
Yes. Yeah.
I prefer enemies to lovers. But I can get behind a good friends to lovers. But I like a friends to lovers when there's, like, the real yearning. You know, like, we've got to have that, like, I've always been in love with you. It can't be like we've been friends for 20 years and all of a sudden I just today realized that you might actually be attractive. You're like, that's weird to me.
Yeah. But anyway, so Cass doesn't show up to rehearsal one day and MJ actually ends up admitting that Cass has asked her out, which of course Hannah's like, okay, that's a tactic to get you to do whatever he wants. Obviously.
Obviously.
But
poor girl.
MJ's just kind of ignoring it and just decides to go along with his plan. We kind of continue with the tutoring session theme and everything. Allie ends up inviting Hannah to a movie night with some girls on the dorm room floor, which honestly, that was the one thing that did stand out character to me, just because he talks about how she doesn't really do anything with anybody else besides Allie. So it was kind of weird that she was like so excited and wanted to do this. But she ends up calling Garrett to reschedule their tutoring session from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So Garrett's kind of distracted, but he agrees. And then when she goes to his place that night, she walks into his bedroom and he's having sex with a blonde woman. So Hannah storms out. I did find it was kind of sweet that Garrett did chase after her, but I thought like the reasoning was pretty crappy why he had to.
But then he goes back to finishing what he was doing.
Yes.
I didn't like that. That was weird.
And so basically he just...
Why would you chase after her, like, in this context?
Because he secretly had feelings for her.
He didn't even know it at that point.
No.
It was just weird.
Give Garrett an assignment, and she's kind of impressed with the paper he wrote, and she thinks that he'll do really well at the midterm. Side... whenever she blushes when he makes a comment that they need to kind of get comfortable so she's not blushing at them interacting at the party. So Garrett taunts her into kissing him. And as they are, Dean ends up barging into the room, and which honestly I was a little like, I get like, really, like, because she makes up some kind of story. And when she kisses him, it almost, like, describes that Dean's, like, all of a sudden head over heels with her, too, because of this kiss. Like, he's just, like...
Oh, she's such a good kisser.
Yeah, just, like, completely flabbergasted and just, like, you know, I need more, kind of. It was just, I don't know.
It was weird. Also, it's Dean.
Yes.
Who's not gonna blow smoke up your tail anyway. So, like, it just wasn't a realistic reaction. And I can't wait to actually read his book and get more of his character.
I felt like that was a good spot to have Garrett discover his feelings for her. And
he was like, oh, I'm jealous.
No, but I feel like it could have been, like, you know, grabbing him, like, I think that's enough. Or, you know, something.
I wanted him to grab her before they actually connected.
That maybe too.
That's
just, like, something to kind of, like, have that little bit of, like, a don't touch her kind of thing, or don't put your hands on my, you know, girlfriend, or what I want to be girlfriend kind of thing. So Hannah decides to pretend that this kiss never happened. And so when Garrett arrives to pick the party, he basically convinces her to wear something revealing, which he ends up regretting. So he does end up convincing Hannah to drink, which I did not like that about him, because obviously, like, she wasn't comfortable to just say yes enough. So it almost like he pressured her a little bit to say yes. I'm glad she felt comfortable enough to do so, but I don't like that. Like, I don't, like, if I'm telling you no, like, listen to me say no kind of thing.
Well, I do think that I did like that he felt kind of like giddy and proud that she felt safe enough with him to
I
do
did,
it.
Yes.
But I do think that it could have been done better.
Well, and while they're there, they show up, and as Garrett's trying to keep Hannah away from Justin, that Kindle girl that we started off the whole entire book with, shows up and basically like berates him for getting into a relationship. Hannah ends up stepping into him. They like decide to go ahead and leave. And I don't know, it was just kind of weird. But they do go to a coffee house later, or Hannah does, her music major friends, and they talk about how, you know, she's hanging out with Garrett, and one of the friends did see Cass and MJ at a date at a restaurant. And so as they're there, Justin does end up arriving, and he talks about how, kind of asks her about her relationship with Garrett, and they were, you know, doesn't obviously reveal that they're fake dating. So she says that they hook up, but they're not exclusive. So as they're talking, though, Garrett just is blowing up her phone. And I would have found it funny if, like, Garrett was, like, in a booth somewhere, like, trying not to come over and bothering her. And then he's, like, visibly getting more and more angry that she keeps declining his call and he can, like, see her do something. But obviously it didn't happen. But Justin does... Yeah. Justin does ask her to go out to dinner the following week, and she does agree. And finally, she offers or answers Garrett's call, and he says that they're going out to a bar the next for Dean's birthday. And he's also supposed to be getting his, you know, results at that point for the midterm. So he'd like her to be there, and she does agree at some point. Oh, she does get some severe anxiety with the fact that she kind of lied to Justin about the relationship. She's kind of worried that Justin will kind of expect her to have sex when she's not ready to do so. And during that class, Garrett is actually not there for that class, so it kind of worries her at some point. And Garrett does arrive about halfway through to get his test, and he says he's handling an emergency, but turns out the emergency is one of the guys' fake IDs is lost, so he had to go get him a new one. A little emergency. Little dumb, but
it's again immature.
Yes. And honestly, with how that was another character flaw for me, because with how concerned he was about his grades, he's then gonna miss the class he's failing to go get a fake ID.
Which, if anybody, I don't know, but I would imagine you don't have to go get one. You place an order, and you just pick it up when it's ready.
I don't know. I've never done a fake ID, so I couldn't tell you.
I personally have never had a fake ID. But I know people that have. And you just place an order, and you go pick it up. Just like anything else.
Roadside assistance.
Mm-hmm. I can't even pass my actual ID. They would not have believed a fake ID. I, to this day, still get ID'd, and people will see it, and they're like, oh my goodness, are you really that old? And I'm like, first of all, you didn't think I was old enough to even order this drink. Now you're calling me old? Make up your mind. But whatever.
So they are really excited about his grade, and Garrett does ask Hannah if she trusts him and if she'd have a drink at the bar later. He promises to be her designated driver, bodyguard, bartender, and friend. And he still thinks that her friend, which I do think friends that had a bad experience with public drinking, so I kind of gave mm-hmm. him a little bit of a pass because he still thinks it's a friend. He would have asked her if he knew it was her in the first place.
I definitely think he would have approached it differently if he knew it was her and not a friend. Yeah, I agree. So, and, like, I don't remember... Did he even know that something actually bad happened to the friend, or just that the friend was spiked and something bad almost happened?
I don't remember if they knew that. I don't know if at this point he knew about the rape.
I want to say he didn't.
I want to also say.
But I could be wrong. Because he does make several references that, like, he knows guys that would cross those boundaries. But I can't remember if those are after he learns about it, or if that's before. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. He doesn't know it's her at this point. And so I did give him a little bit of a pass because I think he would have approached it differently if he had known her actual story.
Yeah.
The ex, though, her ex, that was a weird storyline, too. Like, we run into him at the bar.
Well,
with his new girl.
I have to say that there was a quote prior to this that when he says, "your friend," but luckily I don't think he notices. "A part of me wishes I never fed him that old this happened to my friend excuse, but I can't bring myself to regret. Only my closest friends knows about what happened to me, and yeah, I might trust Garrett, but I don't feel comfortable enough telling him about the rape. Is you are cool enough to let your guard completely down to let him drink, or do you drink in front of him, but yet you're not comfortable enough to tell him what happened to you?" I feel like they correlate.
I think, Well, I think it was more of like she didn't want to tell him. I think it makes it sound like she almost doesn't trust him, but I don't think that's what it was. I think it was more like she didn't want him to know that she had been vulnerable like that and taken advantage of. And then I think she knew what his reaction would be based on their conversations and stuff before.
Gotcha.
But it could have been done better.
Well, I do really like though that he does ask her to dance whenever Tuesday's Gone comes over the jukebox, and they dance alone, and he does end up revealing that the song reminded him of his late mother and that it was actually played at her funeral. I found that so, so sweet. Love that
I
moment.
agree. Sorry to leave you on that cliffhanger. We'll be back with season 3, episode 4, right? On March 28th.
Tune in for that episode to catch our final thoughts and ratings. And in the meantime, you can catch up on all of our other episodes on all podcasting platforms that we are available.
Season 3 is back with weekly episodes, but each book will be split into two separate episodes. And released back to back. You can get access to bonus episodes randomly throughout each month or the fifth Friday if there is one. And we hope to see you back next week.
You can also send us book suggestions, comments, or general inquiries to our email at likerereadthem@carlmpodcast.com. And you can join us on Fable, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram for more engagement from us and the latest news.
We appreciate you tuning into this episode, and we can't wait to hear your thoughts on this episode. Don't forget to join us over on Fable as we discuss as we read each book. It's a lot of fun getting to see you guys' thoughts as you go through the chapters, so please join us over there. I'm enjoying that immensely. And as always, we promise to Carlem like we read them.